We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Tomorrow, we will talk. Wait, I'm not sure, because it's a Bears Monday when they're playing on Monday. Is JJ tomorrow, or are we moving him to Monday, too?
I think we're still doing JJ tomorrow.
All right, so JJ will be on, Joe will be on, and we'll talk about the NFL. Russ Dorsey is going to be on the show, because I want to talk with him about Yu Darvish and talk about the Cubs offseason. So we'll have a fun show for you on a Friday to get you into your NFL week. Two guys that are going to be in charge of taking care of you the rest of the afternoon are Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel. Spiegs has changed up his background. You can call that man Bear Spiegel now, because he is now alone with nature out there. What's up, boys?
Hello,
what's
man.
What's up, Lawrence? Spiegs, good to talk to you. Good to see you in nature. Beautiful day outside.
Yeah, I mean, this is not now, but here's the thing. I know I was Neil deGrasse Spiegel, and I was out there in space. It's lonely in space, man. It's
That's
like,
true.
There's not many people up there, and I was just waiting for people to jetpack by me, and it wasn't happening. So I put myself
Matt Nagy promised us jetpacks, and we have not seen the jetpacks yet.
He promised us everything. Probably Parkins still defending him, because that's his guy.
Yeah, yeah, that's me. I like when the Bears are on Monday Night Football, because Sunday is totally open to watch real NFL football, and then on Monday we don't have to do 4 hours of pregame for a Bears game, because we also have a weekend of sports to react to. So it's just like we just get the reaction portion of it. Like, we'll obviously do some Bears Vikings preview on Monday, but it doesn't have to be the whole show. Like, I Monday Night Football for the Bears is just sublime. I love it.
Here's one thing that I wonder, though, genuinely. When the Bears play an island game like this, and it changes things, like Bears Monday now becomes Bears Friday, and Bears Tuesday is suddenly Bears Wednesday, how much of content time is spent just sorting that kind of crap out? You know, how many minutes are spent by every host just sort of saying it's Bears Tuesday on a Wednesday as an excuse for actual thoughts?
Well, I will admit to some, especially for us, because like Lawrence probably doesn't run into this problem as much because some of his guests are more like proprietary, whereas like we share some guests with the morning show, right?
Uh-huh.
Like we
yes.
Like, we have Olin on Friday, but then they have him on Monday. But then they're like, oh, well, no, but we're putting Olin on Tuesday,
sure.
Which is no problem on a Monday Night Football. But it does complicate things on Thursdays. Like, when the Bears play on Thursday,
so
and we normally have Olin on Friday, but they're like, it's a Bears Monday on a Friday. So they get Olin Kreutz on Friday. We're like, wait a minute, what? Olin's our guest on Friday.
So by pointing it out, I've just made it worse. Now I'm
yes,
like,
you have.
I've created more content time here.
Yeah. You got to do beautiful mind stuff with your calendar to make sure that everyone fits in.
That's right.
I do like that we're basically partners with the morning show and an Olin Kreutz timeshare. Like, you guys have him for a little while. We have him for a little while. And he keeps appreciating in value, it seems.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Right.
And I got to tell you, as a guy that covered those locker rooms, I never once, like, of all the guys in those locker rooms, the one guy I would have told you would have been a great analyst, but I didn't see becoming one, was Olin Kreutz.
It's interesting.
I thought that he would walk away And he would do some of the stuff that he's doing now. Like, he's working with young offensive linemen. He's built this incredible space for guys who don't know what to do with all of that, like, football rage. And he's working them out in a gym. I never thought that Olin was going to be the pick up a microphone dude. And he's been amazing at it.
Do you think, like, I wonder how many examples there are by now, by this point in all of our advanced careers, where we've had guys who we wouldn't think would be great analysts, but then they are great analysts. And is there a type now? Like, the first time I remember this was when Sterling Sharp was suddenly on TV after being a complete jackass to all media in Green Bay. I heard nothing but what a jackass he was. Then there he was. I feel like it's way more common than we think, like, to have guys who have a crust about them, who have a disdain for it, but are kind of entertaining, that they realize, oh, all of a sudden that's a plus when I get to the other side. Like, maybe it's more common than we believe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the big example from my time in Kansas City was Scott Pioli. And he's not great as an analyst, so I don't know if he fits that. He's not bad, but he's, you know, he's replacement level, I would say. But, I mean, he hated the media. And, like, I mean, there was a big feature expose done by Kent Babb, who used that piece of journalism to, like, parlay a job at the KC Star to get a job doing enterprise reporting and feature reporting for the Washington Post, called Arrowhead Anxiety, where he got, like, people on the record about Scott Pioli, like having people paranoid that he was bugging their offices and, like, doing all sorts of shady things in and around the facility. And he was terrible to the media in Kansas City. And then the second he got fired, oh, SiriusXM, NBC, like, everywhere. You couldn't – that guy had, like, six media jobs as soon as he was out the door. So it's just about whether they need you or not. Now,
well, some guys, you know, like for example, like, you knew that Alex was going to be tremendous. Like, just from the interaction that you would have with him in the locker room, he's got that – he's good-looking. He's got that million-dollar smile. You kind of knew that he was going to do it. But with Olin, it was like – I always found Olin to be – it was playful. Like, you never really knew, but you kind of knew that he wasn't going to actually hurt you.
It was, and like, it, his, it character, was, right?
Yeah. He was playful, and he would – you would learn stuff from Olin. Like, Olin would tell you, like, if you got something wrong and he heard it, he would pull you aside and be like, you got that wrong, but let me tell you why you got it wrong. And then you would learn something from it. So you knew that it was in him to do it. But I think that even from the moment that he started, it's been a quantum leap. You know, like you knew that Patrick Manley would be really good at this. And seeing Olin just be like, okay. And I think the other benefit that Olin has that other guys don't have, there is a struggle for guys in their first year or two after they're done playing, because they don't want to bus toss people. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to be a member of the media. You can say whatever you want. Go ahead and say it's Olin. See what happens. Like, there's no inherent fear with him, because people know that he's about his business. And he's not out here to embarrass people. But if you wanna get buck and you wanna wild out in front of Olin, go right ahead and see how that turns out for you.
He also has 100 kids, so he probably likes the gigs and the business and keep it busy.
Father of our country.
And having things to do. But he is just really good at it. And I respect anyone. Like, I remember Spiegs, you telling me about Manley, that when he was starting doing the midday show, that he would, mm-hmm, like, get coaching. And I remember, I respect the hell out of that, because I worked with an athlete for, like, five, six months, one time, who just mailed it in completely. And he was a football player, and he didn't know what a closer was in baseball, and just, like, had no interest in learning. It was awful. But in my experience, like, the vast majority of athletes, and I'm sure, Lawrence, you would feel the same way, like, you've worked with a ton of them, especially on the TV side, like, they're used to being coached.
Yeah.
So they want to get better, and they have no problem taking feedback and, like, mm-hmm, understanding, oh, yeah, like, this is my second career, and so it is your area of expertise. So explain to me how to get this point across better, or be more succinct with this question, or whatever the case may be. So, like, Olin, I just respect the hell out of his grind, man. Like, he clearly watches tape and cares and gets better at it year over year over year.
Agreed. So it's always a treat when he's on the Score airways because I'm a firm believer that that's the one thing that none of us, we can't explain it. Offensive line play.
Yeah.
I think that there are levels to talking about this for those of us who didn't play at the highest level of any sport that we can talk about. Like we can learn more about. For some reason, offensive line play is kind of a blind spot for everyone who didn't play on an offensive line. And so when you have guys like Olin that make it plain mm-hmm. for you and they make it so that you can understand like the interconnectivity of it, it still cracks me up. Like even years removed from it, when you be down, Speaks, you were down there, you be down at Bourbonnais, and the offensive line would come to lunch and they're in the exact same position that they are on the field.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't like, that's crazy. But then you get it, like how interconnected they are as a unit. And he and Big Cat's good at this too. Explaining that stuff that most of us, even those of us who cover football, don't really have a grasp for.
Well, in this sport, as we've talked about a lot, Danny, that's so interconnected and so complementary in terms of what your skills bring to each other and how you execute as a collective. The offensive line is the ultimate example of that. But even dunces at offensive line analysis know it's wrong when on fourth down, Jermaine Ifedi lowers his head and lunges forward blocking nobody. Like we can all see that and be like, yeah, that's not how you do that. I've never done
Correct.
It in my life. I mean, I have because I was center and nose tackle and play caller on the Mighty Sequoias for 4 years in my intramural flag football team of legendary proportions at Emerson College, as you guys
it's
know.
It's the same.
Yeah, it's very, very similar. But, I mean, seriously, you watch Ifedi do that, and you're like, man, that's not how you do it. Am I right? Who's with me? And everybody.
You can easily call out improper technique. Like, even as someone who never did, you'd be like, that's improper technique. You know, the dropping of the head and then whiffing on the block.
Right.
That's improper technique.
I think that's a blessing of this particular offensive line, is that a lot of Bears fans are getting smarter in calling out improper technique. Because that's all we see.
Yeah, this one is a little bit easier, right? Like when when at the snap, none of them go forward and it's a run play. Not good.
That seems wrong.
Not how it's normally supposed to be done. But I agree. It's a very tough thing. And also like sometimes you don't know the assignments, right? And so like who is supposed to block who and
right.
what are you going to do in a stunt, right? And like there's no way for us to know it. Without
who was supposed to pass off who on the block,
exactly.
like that sort of thing. Yeah, I think that's where getting expertise like that makes us better at our job, and therefore I think makes the listener smarter.
Do you guys
and that's the key.
You guys see this little breaking coronavirus news, not the Chicago stuff, which has been going, but I just saw this. They allowed a cruise ship today to finally set sail in the Caribbean. First time since the pandemic, a cruise ship is on its way into the Caribbean. And today, a passenger aboard that cruise ship has tested positive for
Get
the coronavirus.
Get out of here.
COVID-19 is still out there.
First cruise ship. First one since March.
And wasn't this like a test run too? Like, weren't they trying to figure out if their protocols worked? I thought that's what I read initially.
Uh-huh. I'm looking for, let's see, a 7-day voyage, 53 passengers on board. The ship came up with an incredibly rigorous system to try and keep COVID-19 mm-hmm. off the vessel. They didn't interact with locals during their stops. They were shuttled to empty beaches to either relax or do an excursion. They were about to do a third round of tests on Wednesday when one of the passengers went to the doctor and said he was feeling sick. And there you go. Man, we as a species, it's not just Chicago as a city, just we humans, we're not real good with this.
No. Are you kidding? We're the worst.
We're the worst thing that's hit this planet in a long time. That's why
People.
I went to space.
Yeah, well, that's why you were in space, exactly.
Before I jump off of here, I didn't want to not ask this question since Abner Triple Day is here. I got to know. You have more nicknames. It's so great. Ethan Katz, why is this such a good hire for the White Sox?
Because he's not Kurt Young, who was Tony La Russa's old buddy who he wanted to bring in. That's the one of the first things. He's very progressive. He's got an open mind to how pitchers learn. Every pitcher is unique in the way that they learn and the methodology that might speak to them, and they should be allowed to seek out that methodology and that coaching, be it from private academies or private people. Like Giolito went to Katz himself, and he understands how to communicate with the modern young pitcher who is trying to be the CEO of his own little corporation, like all these guys must. So he's not a one-size-fits-all guy. He's intellectual. He's curious. And from everybody I've talked to, he's incredibly communicative. So I think it's a terrific hire. And I wish it was not imbued with the "yeah, but" that the entire La Russa thing kind of puts on every little bit of White Sox news these days.
It's quite the statement they put out today, huh?
Hey, Lawrence, here's what your team is now doing. The bare minimum. But after here's the crazy thing about it.
It's less
they
than
actually
that,
had been they, doing less than the minimum. So.
They outsourced the statement to the lawyer. Like, it's even less than the bare minimum.
I will say we're going to talk about it. I was so appalled by them doing nothing that the bare minimum is by definition more than nothing.
That's
dude,
so
I'm
sad.
Not even kidding. Like, Lawrence, I know I teased it at the end of transition yesterday. I don't know if you listened to it. Like, it was like really bothering me, the possibility of what they were setting up for Jose Abreu to be doing. Like, Jose Abreu could have won the MVP and then gotten on a Zoom with Chicago reporters and had to been the first White Sox employee to make a statement on Tony La Russa's DUI through a translator. That would have just been wildly inappropriate and unfair. And so, like, I went hard at them yesterday in the 2 o'clock hour and the 5 o'clock hour, like, laying out that scenario. And it was weird. Like, at 6:40, right, we're off the air at 6, James Fegan has – White Sox are not going to be making a statement on La Russa. Then at 7:10, Fegan goes, but I should add, the White Sox are very much aware of the criticism. And then today, 10 a.m., come out with the statement. Like, it was such a bad idea to do nothing. That, like, this obviously isn't, it's not great. It doesn't solve any problems or anything like that. But at least now we have their stance on it, which is just, this is PR 101, right? Have your messaging come out with the story or ahead of the story.
It's so much more hollow, though, Danny. It's so much more hollow, isn't it, now that they waited this long and they got shoved into doing it?
Of course. But, again, like, there's the bare minimum.
Yeah.
And they weren't meeting that threshold. Okay?
It's so sad.
It really is.
You've got to meet the threshold of minimum. And it would have honestly just been disrespectful to Jose Abreu to put him in that position without an organizational statement on the record. He can no comment, and he would have been fine, and he's a grown man. Mm-hmm. But it honestly would have been disrespectful to have him out, hanging out there with no word from the team.
I think that's absolutely correct. I think it was disrespectful and unfair to have Tim Anderson greet the media last week, having had no conversations with Tony La Russa and no indication there was going to be any conversations, when he is the poster boy for, just, you know, from a cultural perspective, everything that we know is wrong with the hire. And to have Tim Anderson have to go out there and speak to it, and have him have to hem and haw and say, I'm looking forward to learning, but I don't know, we'll see how it goes. Oh, I'm just going to be myself and bat flip, but we'll see how he reacts when I do that. Like, for him to have to do that, and then to have to give the answer, no, he hasn't reached out to me. How do you allow the face of your franchise? These are the two most important guys in that locker room. Abreu, who's going to speak tonight, and Anderson, who spoke last week. Those are the guys. How do you allow Anderson to go out there with no additional context, information, or conversation?
How do you not connect the two guys? Like, we all work for a guy that would have never allowed for that to happen. Where if there would have been some sort of, like, like new boss. He would have like he's connected all of us with Rachel. You know what I mean? Like
looks like Mitch Rosen to me.
That would have never happened. Like, how could you let Tim walk out there having not talked to them? Like, it might have been a good idea to be like, hey, Tim, before we do this thing, why don't we put you on a Zoom with Tony?
Uh-huh.
And then you two can talk. And before you talk with the media about the Silver Slugger, you and Tony can talk about what you thought of Tony. Like, just all the way around, it has just been bungled by them.
They're way too experienced to be handling things like this. It's just, it's sad. It really is sad what it has done to their offseason.
But Tim Anderson had a cryptic message on Twitter. Don't get distracted. Keep going. That he sent
keep
out
going.
Yesterday.
Hashtag so, keep going is his thing. I like that.
Yeah. Well, so okay, fine. Like, good. I hope all the things of success for the White Sox on the field, but just they are creating headaches where there do not need to be headaches. And that's just not the sign of a competent organization. I'm sorry. It's just not. Like, this is PR 101. This is basic, rudimentary stuff of just caring about the messaging and caring about how your fans perceive and associate good things or bad things with your organization. That's all it is. But, Lawrence, it's my Friday.
I've already kept you guys too long, man. I apologize.
No, don't apologize at all. But, yeah, Speaks is hanging out. We got Charge at 3. We got Wani at 5. It's going to be a good time. We'll be spreading the good vibes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.